Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, this is going to be one. It is one of the best days of my life, not only because I'm here and I'm on the radio talking with you, and that you're here talking with me. And you can, by the way, our phone number 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You could text, you can call, and boy, oh boy, this is exciting because that bill to protect our pets from kennel fires has passed the House. It's now passed the Senate. And we'll talk about that in a moment. I have a question for you first. Do you know anyone who has a declawed cat? A cat that you either adopted or maybe a cat yourself that you declawed? You can help us communicate a message about declaw. I'm presenting with a very famous veterinarian, Dr. Robin Downing. Maybe I'll have her on the show soon. I mean, she's incredible. She's brilliant. Why she wants anything to do with me, I don't know. But we're speaking together. I'm talking about the behavior aspect. That's kind of my wheelhouse. How to convince your cat that there are more interesting places to scratch than sofas or stereo speakers. But I'll be talking about that. How to, what's the word that I'm looking for? How to redirect, that's the word, cats to appropriate scratching places. But what happens when cats are declawed? And that is what Dr. Downing will look at and she'll talk about. And I will tell you in a moment or in a few moments how you can help us with that. But first, this is a very exciting day for me. I must tell you the story in the background for all this. In January, over 30 dogs were killed in a kennel fire in West Chicago at Bully Life Animal Services. That was on January 14th. I came on the radio. I spoke about it. And even before I spoke about it, there were a group of people who created a GoFundMe page for the manager of that kennel and the trainer who helped, as trainers sometimes do. There's a group of trainers all over America, and it's a good thing. They take dogs from facilities that have behavior issues, from animal shelters, and they try to help those dogs. So those dogs then, which were unadoptable, become adoptable. They save lives. So there was a GoFundMe page for this guy. I had the guy on the air. We kind of promoted it just by having him on the air, right? Just before he went on the radio, I began to hear from people, his training methods aren't so good. I also began to hear from people, this facility, this kennel facility, was overcrowded. They had electrical issues, and they might have even known about it. Well, so I had him on the radio, and it prompted me to write a piece about dog training methods, because allegedly, I've never seen him train, so I don't know, but allegedly, he did not use appropriate methods to train these animals. He used aversive training methods, which in the short term might make a dog look good, but down the road, this dog is absolutely going to revert to whatever that dog was or worse, and doesn't permanently solve problems. Also, when we know better, and today we do, it's not the right way or the most humane way to train dogs. But I've never seen him train. I just know there are trainers all over who use inappropriate methods to save dogs. It's contradictory, right? I mean, is it worth saving that dog if you're using a method that's going to harm that dog in the long run, or that dog is inhumanely treated in the process of quote-unquote training the dog? So I wrote a piece on that, which kind of went viral, by the way. I'm not a fire inspector. I don't know about wiring. What do I know? And I've even if I were to walk through the place, which I would not do, what would I see? What would I understand? Again, I'm not a fire. So I thought, what can I do about this? And I began to do some research, and I learned that, for example, on Christmas Eve of last year, a kennel fire took the lives of 9 dogs in Maryland. On March 5th this year, no dog made it alive out of a kennel fire in Stacy, Minnesota, outside Minneapolis. 30 dogs were killed during a fire in West Michigan in a fire in spring of this year. These fires happen too often because no state, to my knowledge, has protection for those dogs. So I thought we need to have protections. So that's when I called Mark Ayers of the Humane Society of the United States. He's the Illinois director. I talk to Mark all the time. And Mark said, well, Mark, you're on the radio now. So I will let you tell everyone what you said. And before you do, also on the phone is the man who made it possible for this to happen in the Illinois Senate. That's Illinois Senator Don DeWitt. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be here.
All right. So, Mark, when I came to you with this idea that no other state, to my knowledge, has done, you said, I'm going to go for it. So what was it about this idea that resonated with you?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I think it was shocking to realize that no state has ever done this before. I think a lot of us just assume that many of these states, including Illinois, have some of these common sense safety standards already in place. And come to find out, they don't. And they're not required by law to have that. And so I think you recapped it pretty well. You know, a day or two after this event happened, and after you called us and said, you know, let's explore this idea further, we jumped at the chance to do that and got to work pretty quick with Representative Pappas in the House and Senator DeWitt and really began figuring out how can we word this thing so that this never, ever, ever happens again. And, you know, and I want to thank you again, Steve, for your idea. You know, we wouldn't have pursued it without you coming to us. And it's my pleasure to announce that this bill did pass both chambers and does require a mandatory staff or a fire alarm or fire suppression system installed in these buildings.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What is this bill? So explain what it is. Currently, there was nothing, and there is nothing. Now, once the governor signs this, and from all I've heard, the governor is not only Diane Pappas, you mentioned her name, Illinois State Representative. She shepherded this bill, and certainly we'll talk to Doctor, we'll talk to Senator DeWitt in a moment. Sir, on the Senate side, Senator DeWitt helped make that happen. But first it went through the House, and that was certainly Diane Pappas who helped massage the bill in some ways as well. Let's explain what this bill is, because we keep using the term this bill, and I'll let you do that, Mark.
Yeah, sure. So this was House Bill 3390, and a lot of the negotiations that took place on the bill happened over in the House. That's kind of where we got to work and began a lot of the negotiations with fire marshals and fire chiefs and, you know, the Illinois Fire Chiefs Association. But, you know, primarily what the bill does is it does one of three things. First, it's going to mandate that and require that kennel operators have to have mandatory staff at all times, 24/7, at a kennel facility where dogs are housed for boarding. And I think that's the most common sense thing that we put into the bill. If you're going to have dogs at a boarding facility, there should be someone there making sure that they're being taken care of and that they're safe. However, we recognize that that's not always feasible. And so we also put in the bill that if you can't have 24/7 staff at all times, then you must have at least a fire alarm system that is linked to a dispatch service. So if something happens, it will trigger local law enforcement to come out and check to see what's going on. Or they must also have a fire suppression or sprinkler system installed in the kennel facility as well. So it's one of those three things that will be required by Illinois law pending the governor's signature.
Well, you know, when I look out the window here at our beautiful Skyline studio, we're up on the 18th floor downtown Chicago, and I look up, I see the sky. If there were a vote in the Senate, in the Illinois Senate, what do you see when you look up? Some people would say the sky. Some people wouldn't say the sky. There would be discussion that would take hours. Somehow, Senator DeWitt, unanimously, this passed. How did you do that?
Well, thank you, Steve. I think what you have in the Illinois State Senate is a bunch of dog lovers. I can tell you that Senator Linda Holmes from Aurora was one of the first, one of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle to jump onto this bill and co-sponsor it with me in the Senate. I think really what this all boils down to, the great work my colleague in the House, Diane Pappas, did, the great resources that Mark certainly brought to the process from the Humane Society. I think we have just a good common sense bill that pet lovers all over the state and certainly perhaps even nationally can understand that this makes perfect sense. You did mention the unanimous vote in the Senate. I was very pleased to see that last Thursday. There were some no votes in the House when it came down. Not a significant number. I think there were 16 no votes, probably determined by the fact that some people could have viewed this potential legislation as an unfunded mandate, which is kind of a bad two words in Springfield, particularly when it comes to legislation that may be coming down on a specific segment of the business community. But all in all, Steve, to answer your question, I think this is just good common sense legislation that had a lot of input and discussion put into it. I was tickled to get a unanimous vote.
Well, sit down, Senator. I'm about to say something from the media, my end, that'll shock you. I've worked before, and I'm curious also after you comment how Mark feels about this, because he works with your type every single day. I don't. But I periodically work on legislative issues with public officials on the state level. I've worked on the national level and certainly hear those aldermen, the mayor, previous mayors for the city of Chicago. Most people are people. Whether they be public officials or not, they're human beings. They have a family, and that family may include a pet. But moreover, they want to do the right thing. Democrat, Republican, independent, they want to do the right thing. That's why they did this and ran for office, which is no easy task, in the first place. So I want both of your comments on this, actually. First, the senator.
I think you're absolutely right. I think... you know, when I was running for this seat last fall out here in the 33rd District, which encompasses about half of Kane County and about the southern third of McHenry County, I told people I wasn't coming to Springfield just to run an agenda or to represent a particular party's views. I have consciously made the decision to run for Senate, and frankly, when I was mayor and alderman in the city of St. Charles as well, just to do the right thing. And when good laws can come down the pike and people can relate to them, to your point about pets being literally family members to most people in Illinois, you know, we treat them like family members. And when we lose them, it's like losing a family member, in some cases maybe even worse. But it's really about good laws that make a lot of sense, that people can relate and appeal to. I think that's the bottom line in any piece of legislation that gets passed in and out of Springfield, and certainly it applies to this this House bill that eventually made it through both bodies and has been approved.
Mark?
I agree with the senator, everything that he said. You know, you look at the bill online, the witness list, this one had close to 100 proponents, and there wasn't any opposition to the bill at all. And Steve, you know, I've been doing animal welfare legislation in Springfield for close to 4 years, and I've had a number of bills that I thought were quote-unquote common sense, but there always seems to be one, two, three, four groups that come out opposing that type of bill. I was so pleased to see that with this bill, House Bill 3390, there was none. There was no opposition whatsoever. Which was incredible. And I think that people recognize that this was a good bill. It was a common sense bill. And I got to plug my friend Peggy Grandel, you know, who said that the best way that we can memorialize these 31 dogs is to make sure that this never, ever happens again. And I'm just so pleased, again, that this bill passed both chambers with such huge margins. And we're just waiting for the governor now to put the pen to paper on this.
All right. And I believe he will. We have a couple of texts I want to get to, including someone from a fire department, a fire official, who will comment on this. I still want to talk about those declawed cats, and we will do all of that next on WGN. On the phone right now, we're talking with Mark Ayers, Illinois Director of the Humane Society of the United States, Illinois Senator Don DeWitt. We're talking about a bill that protects dogs and cats, any animals, in kenneling facilities. We have several phone calls, guys. Mark, this question is for you, and the phone calls, the text as well, all about the same thing, horses. And in fact, horses too frequently around the country die in barn fires. The questions, one way or another, Mark, say, are horses next?
You know, that would certainly be something I'd like to explore further, Steve. And I know that those, you know, fires have been happening across the United States quite often. And you know, I would like to explore legislation that does eventually expand the scope a little bit to include, you know, horse stables and things like that. You know, however, that being said, once we do that, it will likely encounter some opposition with some outdoor groups, the farming groups who want to protect those animals and their property rights. But yes, long story short, I would love to see legislation expanded to uncover or expand to include horse stables as well.
We now have several texts pointing out, and this is interesting, this isn't only about animal lives, including from a firefighter, that this helps firefighters as well. I mean, and it makes sense, Senator DeWitt, if firefighters are alerted to a fire anywhere, including an animal kennel, sooner than later, that means less structural damage, maybe less of a chance of that fire catching onto the building next door. In addition, a smaller fire, which makes things safer for the firefighters.
I couldn't agree more. You know, as a former mayor, Steve, I did get some insight into the fire business. You know, as the saying goes, I probably know just enough to be dangerous. But one of the things that struck me about this particular incident in West Chicago was the fact that there were a number of firefighters who happened to get injured. A number of them were bitten by animals that they were trying to rescue out of this facility because this fire had gotten rolling pretty good before the fire department had been notified that there was an issue. So that struck me. I understand the problems and the challenges that our firefighters face on a regular basis, particularly walking into a burning building where you can just imagine the panic that must have been going through a number of these animals when Sure. this was all going on. So there is a safety component to it, and you're right. Anytime any fire suppression company has an opportunity to get to an incident and deal with it as early as possible, the chances of a better outcome and less damage, and certainly in these cases, less harm to any of the boarded animals that might be there, will occur. The alarm system will certainly help that. Again, this was a very unfortunate situation. The owner had actually left the facility. I understand he was giving a friend a ride somewhere.
Yeah.
And like most fires, it doesn't take long yep. for something to happen, and pretty soon it's rolling out of control.
Well, Senator DeWitt, I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank Diane Pappas enough. She's not on the phone, but she is here in my heart because of what she did. And in addition to that, Mark Ayers, we are so lucky. Do not ever leave Illinois. We want you to stay here. We are more than happy to have you. We need you. Thank you so much for, really, you're the dude who helped me. It was my idea, but you made this happen. You ran with it. So thank you both very, very much.
Thank you, Steve.
I'll tell you, you know, it's nice that we did this. Yes, now I hope other states, and I've heard from some other states, will follow up and do the same thing.